Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. This is Lisa, and joining me today, I have Lauren, and I also have Janae.
Hi.
And Janae is an Adventures by Disney guide. And Lauren, say hi.
Hi.
And we're going to be talking about Adventures by Disney. This is going to be so exciting because a lot of you don't know about Adventures by Disney. We're going to tell you everything you wanted to know that you didn't know you wanted to know. So, Janae, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
First, I want to find out, what is an Adventure by Disney? How does that work? What do you do? Jump in with that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we kind of do everything, and that's the nice thing about Adventures by Disney is I really think it's one of the only ways to truly go on vacation, because you may say that you're going to, you know, go somewhere, but you've still got to plan everything out. You've got to wonder about opening times and how am I going to get my currency converted and how much is this and getting the tickets and everything like that. And you don't have to worry about a thing. The great part about Adventures by Disney, it is truly hassle-free vacation. So you can just literally show up, put on your comfy shoes, and have a good time. And that's all you have to do.
Okay.
We're all over the place. We are actually 6 out of 7 continents. I've got my fingers crossed for Antarctica, but we're not there yet. So,
would do that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd go play with some, you know, penguins or whatever. Oh, so I think it would be great.
Puffins.
So, yes. I'm sure they're all very cute. So, so we're 6 out of 7 continents with 21 different countries around the world, and we are at 24 different destinations right now. So just about anywhere you can think of, we're probably there, and if not, then we'll probably be there within the next couple of years. So, you know, folks that are wanting to go take family vacations and whatever that family unit is, you know, I mean, obviously with, when you think Disney, you think, you know, children and, you know, families coming together that way. But I see a lot of multi-generational. I see a lot of couples coming, or even single travelers that just want to go on vacation and not have to worry about anything, to be able to just enjoy whatever that destination is, whether it's checking something off on their bucket list or maybe tracing heritage or something like that.
Oh, that's
and
good.
We see a lot of that. I see a lot of that, especially in Germany and Ireland.
Mm.
And I also got the China trip too. And I've seen a lot of folks that have adopted Chinese children and then taking them back to show them where they come from. And
oh,
it's just,
nice.
It's a great way to do it. It's really Aww. Cool to do those kind of heritage trips. And it's really neat to kind of be a part of that, to see those families coming together in a different way. It's pretty cool.
So are there any age limitations on the low end or the high end?
Nothing on the high end. We say, you know, 4 and up, pretty much. So 4 to 104 is no problem. We'll take 105-year-olds too, though. It's okay. But 4 is the minimum age, just because there are going to be, you know, some of the days are kind of long and everything. We found that pretty much under that, we're going to start running into challenges with stamina and being
Naps.
Able to do it. Naps, yes.
Schedules.
So 4 is the minimum age, but there are some trips, some of our destinations, where we recommend a slightly higher age, and that's due to, number one, to safety concerns, and also just to potentially being able to do everything on the trip. You don't want to spend all your hard-earned time and money to go somewhere and then have a member of your family not able to participate in absolutely everything.
Because it is an adventure.
It is an adventure, absolutely. And
you're
some
gonna
of
be on
the
your feet.
More adventurous ones are the ones that have a little bit of a higher recommended, like Peru, Ecuador and the Galapagos, South Africa, things like that. So, you know, a lot of it comes down to the child. And, of course, everyone knows, you know, their children better than, you know, anyone else, obviously. So there are some kids that might be able to handle it, but, you know, we do have those recommended ages just so everyone can actually enjoy everything once you get there.
Now, what about people with disabilities?
We handle all sorts of disabilities, and obviously part of the problem in making sure that anyone can absolutely do everything on every adventure is kind of based on the destination. We've discovered that there are certain destinations that unfortunately aren't tremendously disability friendly. You know, the medieval times, they didn't build castles with ramps.
Right.
So, you
but
know,
there's enough of
so there's things
ones
like
out
that,
there that
so
you can
absolutely
you just have
do
to pick
it.
And choose, ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
When
and ask
you're
those right questions.
Looking into the different destinations,
absolutely.
Which one's going to be accessibility
yeah.
friendly.
Oh, yeah, because we will certainly do everything that we can. And a lot of it comes down to what the disability is as well. You know, how severe of a mobility concern. And, you know, we have folks a lot of times that are, you know, 105, you know, at the upper end of the age scale that are coming on the trips, and they're concerned because they don't maybe move as fast. But that's one of the great things about Adventures by Disney, because we have 2 adventure guides, and that's something different from all of the other tour companies out there. The industry standard is to have 1, but because
one
we have 2, we have 40 people as a max.
Okay.
So The minimum kind of varies from tour to tour, but 40 people max, two adventure guides, plus we've got local guides, plus we've got our driver and everything like that. So it's okay if the group gets a little spread out. No one's going to hold anyone else back, and no one's going to feel like they have to really exert themselves to keep up either. So, you know, one guy can be with part of the group, the other guy can be with the other part. We're all going to get to the same place, but we're all going to do it at our own speed, and that's one of those nice things too. So, perfect. You know, depending on how severe a mobility issue is, we can certainly work with it. And, you know, a big thing that we hit a lot are allergies, you know, and whether it's a true, you know, my throat will close off if I hear this, or if it's, you know what, I just really don't like this. You know, whatever that is, it's not a big deal. We deal with allergies all the time, and we've got great relationships with our vendors in every single destination because they're the ones that we see every time you go somewhere,
you're practically home.
Exactly.
You know the people, you know the location. Yeah. So you're comfortable everywhere.
Absolutely.
That you go.
Yep. We're just seeing our friends every week. They're like, I'll be back in 9 days. So see you again. And, you know, so we just can give them a call and then it's not a big deal. And I know for countries where there's a severe language barrier, we want to take care of our guests even when they're on their free time, if they've got a free meal or something like that. And we will write out on a card in whatever, you know, language of, you know, whatever country we're in, exactly what the nature of the restriction is. So that way they can go and hand over this card and they know that they're not going to get peanuts, you know, or, you know, raspberries or strawberries or, you know, whatever it is that they're allergic to. And that way you're still taken care of even when you're not physically with your guides. That's something we do a lot in China because there's just no English anywhere. There's no English anywhere. Yeah. And you don't want to.
And now do you speak the languages where you're going into, or?
I'd like to say I can get in trouble in about 7 different languages.
That's impressive.
I know just enough to hit a certain point, and then I'm like, and the conversation has to end.
We're done here.
I can, you know, I can find out where the bathroom is. I can order food. I can get directions.
The important things.
All the basic things.
The things
yes,
you
I can
need
shop.
To know.
Shopping is always, you know, how much is this is always my first phrase. And so I can do all of that in multiple different languages. There are some, though, that, you know, I've tried with Mandarin. I've tried real hard, but it's just not happening. The dialects are so extreme. But that's one of the great things, again, about having the two guides, because my co-guide is Chinese and obviously is fluent. And so you're not going to have that language barrier. And that's great, not just, you know, for me as the co-guide, but for the guests, because they're not going to have to worry about any of that. We always have someone that's going to be able to translate. And that's true for pretty much every international destination. It's almost always one adventure guide who is a native of the area, very close nearby and is fluent in the language. And then the other one typically an American. So that's almost always there. You know, obviously there's always an exception to every rule, but generally speaking, that's what you're going to hit. And especially in those countries where there's a severe language barrier like China.
That's actually comforting, because that's one of my fears of going to a foreign country is not being able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that you're going with someone who will absolutely be able to communicate no matter what the situation or problem. That's comforting.
And that takes, that's again, you know, kind of back to the hassle-free thing. Like, that takes a huge weight off. It's just one less thing for you to have to worry about.
Yeah.
It's not how do I get around and communicate. It's just, you just have to show up.
Okay. I like that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you guys also get kind of backdoor entry into things, too.
Oh, yes.
Some VIP.
We do.
Which is nice.
Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, I don't like waiting in line. I don't know about you guys, but
I'm not a fan.
I don't do it. No, I don't.
Is there fast pass out there?
I am your fast pass. I'm a human fast pass.
I could have used you at the buffet line today.
Yes,
yeah, really?
Yes.
On the island.
Yes, we have our sign. We like to call it the Paddle of Power. It has power. It has pixie dust. It's magical. It's like our magic wand. And we have our Adventures by Disney Paddle of Power, and it parts crowds. It gets us to the front of lines. It's amazing. And that's something that Adventures by Disney has set up because, again, your vacation time is valuable and you want to make the most out of your time. And whatever, you know, wherever you are, you want to get to see absolutely everything. So we've got it set up so that it's not showing up and then, oh, you know, it's early. When is this going to open? Or, oh, it's closed this day. Or, hey, it's going to take 5 hours to get in here. All we do is show up. We've already called in advance. They know we're there. It's something that's usually set up just for us. And in we go. And we head right in. We've got plenty of time.
VIP.
So that, yeah, you can just roll in. We have a great time just for us.
That's
got to
be worth the price of admission right there.
Absolutely. And, you know, that way you don't have to worry. If we've done our job, you don't even really have to ever look at your watch, because it's not, okay, we've got 30 minutes, go, you know.
Right.
We
be
have
back
set
here
up.
In 30.
Yeah, exactly. Go, go, go. Cook that, you know, pasta, whatever, you know. Make sure that you go on that ride. It's all about making sure that everyone has enough time so that, it, you know, the every activity just kind of goes all the way through, it has its climax, we finish, and off we go. And so it just kind of flows. You shouldn't ever feel rushed or have to wonder around what time it is. I am the watch as well as the pass. And I have the paddle of power.
You have many hats.
yes. Lots of different types.
And the kids are incorporated.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're, and no, of course, there are some things. You know, we want to have everyone together for everything, but there are going to be some things that we hit that the kids are just not having. Let's be honest. Like, I like to use the example of the Louvre. I love art history, and I'm always excited whenever we go there, but, like, no. You know, a lot of the adults want to see the Mona Lisa. You want to see all these great pieces of art, and
it's history.
You've got to have someone in there, because you'll spend weeks in the Louvre and still never find Mona, you know, just so big. So you've got one adventure guide and one local expert that goes with all the adult guests in the Louvre, and then the kids just really don't care. Not at all. So what we do is we have the other adventure guide and a local expert take the kids, and we go on an art detective game. So we're kind of sneaky because they're still learning art history, but it's in a fun way. So we're running around pretending to be Sherlock Holmes and having a fabulous time. And we often have some adults that want to defect.
I was going to say, that'd be me.
So the kids were,
yeah, I could see you defecting to the kids area.
And it's just great. And then everyone can come back and talk about how much fun that they had in the Louvre. And it's, you know, everyone's still with someone that's trusted, that's known. So you're not feeling like you're being pushed off on someone else. You still have an adventure guide with you. And it's also not, hey, who's taking my kids? The other one is with them. So it works out really well, and everyone has a good time.
Perfect. Can you tell us some of the destinations that you actually tour through?
Myself, personally?
Personally.
I've actually guided 12 different destinations for Adventures by Disney. So I figure it's a big world, and we go a lot of places, and I want to try to hit every single one if I can. So out of the trips that are currently running, I guide Quest for the West in Wyoming, our Southwest Splendors tour, Arizona and
That's
Utah.
That's what I want to
do. Oh, yes. Quest for the West is amazing. You can go be a cowboy for a week. It's incredible. And, you know, just something about Quest for the West, too. I think when people think of Adventures by Disney, and when I tell all the tours that I do, I also do China, South Africa, Ireland, Germany. So when people hear those, you think, oh, exotic, and I want to go to all these places. But, you know, you never look in your backyard. And I think there's a lot to be said for all of our domestic tours. They're just as amazing. There's nothing less about them, Marty, that I think people just tend to overlook them sometimes, because you're thinking, oh, if I'm going on vacation, I want to go
exotic.
Here, I want to go on these long, exotic, you know, trips. And certainly, I love those. I'm very happy every time I am in China and South Africa and everywhere like that. But there's something to be said for those domestic tours, and they are incredible. And I've got to tell you, and out of
Does
all
that
the places
cover Yellowstone?
We do go to Yellowstone, absolutely. We have a park ranger all to ourselves to help show us around Yellowstone. It's pretty awesome.
Boy!
Old Faithful, right out the back door of the hotel. It's
VIP
truly
service.
Incredible. It is VIP service. And at Brooks Lake Lodge, the absolutely incredible last resort we stay at, it's way up in the mountains, and we take over the whole place. So we roll in, and everyone's like, well, you know, who else is staying here? I'm like, oh, no. It's just us. We are the only ones. We literally take over the joint. We are the only ones there. And it's great because we've got the run of the place. So
and
got
it's at the end
cabins.
When everyone knows each other.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Exactly.
That is
and,
nice.
You know, we've got cookouts, and you can learn how to fly fish, and which I'll tell you, I know how, but I'm really bad at it. So I'm usually on the horseback rides. Cause
I would probably be with you
at.
There.
Yes. And, you know, it snows pretty much 12 months out of the year in Wyoming. And that's a really cool thing for a lot of kids that have never seen it. And even if we don't hit it up until that point, typically you can hike to snow from on Brooks Lake Lodge. So we have, you know, hiking guides that'll, you know, take you on a hike, and you can actually see it. Yeah. Of course, having said that, it'll be the one time that, you know, it's been warm and it's not there. But typically,
well,
you
with
can
the weather
do that
these
year-round.
Days.
It's true. You never know.
Yeah.
But
you can't make any promises.
I don't think Michigan even got snow this year.
Yeah, it was so mild. My gosh. So it's really, really cool there, though. It's just so amazing. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. We have some great hikes, and it's just a phenomenal trip. It's fun. We go whitewater rafting, and it's just
I need
incredible.
To get your phone number and give you to my husband to talk to.
Yes, yes.
Sell
Hello.
Him. Yes. Well, what would be some of your favorite experiences, some of your personal best memories?
I I'm going into my third year guiding the Germany trip. And so even though I don't have a drop of German blood in me, I still feel very much at home when I'm there because I've been there so much. And I truly love the people. And I've worked for Disney for a long time. And so I'm a self-admitted Disney nerd. I absolutely love it. And
we
so
all
it's
are.
Very, yeah.
Yes.
Who isn't, really?
Well, come on, join the club.
And it means so much to me to guide there because the tour is called Once Upon a Fairy Tale, and that's where they come from. I mean, it's the Grimm brothers, and it's kind of like our origin story. That's where all those great princess stories and everything come from. It's what people think of. It was, you know, what really kind of first put us out there was Snow White and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. And those stories come from the stories the Grimm brothers compiled. And so it's really, really neat to be there and to see where all these fairy tales originated. And we do go up the fairy tale road. We actually stay at a glorious castle called Waldeck right now. And it's 800 years old. It is Snow White's castle, aww, which is pretty amazing. We're like, this is our
I'm
castle.
I'm not crying yet.
Oh, I'm watching.
Love it. I love it. And but on the way there, as we're driving through the fairy tale road, we're like, all right, you know, we're going to stop, just stretch our legs, we'll take a break. And we stop in this little teeny tiny town named Alsfeld. Alsfeld is absolutely gorgeous. There's forest nearby, cobblestone streets, half-timbered houses, the whole thing. I mean, it looks like the Germany in your mind. It almost doesn't look real. But we go in, everyone gets to use the restroom, we stretch our legs, we get a little tour of Alsfeld to see, you know, some of the history there. And as we're rounding a corner, who runs across the street but Red Riding Hood? Little Red Riding Hood just running across the street looking for Grandma's house. And that's when everyone realizes that was the story from this place. Alsfeld's story is Little Red Riding Hood, or Rotkäppchen, as she's called there. And to see her just spring to life in the middle of the street is amazing. But then the craziness really begins because, of course, following her is the wolf. And so we're trying to direct him somewhere else. There are always a couple, usually of the little boys, that are like, no, no, she went that way.
Like, stop that. Eat her.
Stop that. And the hunter runs past. So we're like, what is going on? So our tour has been totally disrupted. We have to see what's going on. And we go chasing them through the streets of Alsfeld until we end up at Grandma's house. And, you know, everyone knows how the story plays out. And after everything has been finished satisfactorily, Grandma thanks us for helping and invites us to have a lovely picnic lunch in her garden. And it's amazing. It's not, okay, everyone, sit down, we're going to watch a show or anything like that. It's watching a fairy tale spring to life right in front of you at the place where it was written hundreds of years ago. It's amazing. It's like you've just jumped into the book. And
chills.
It's totally cool. It's never not cool.
That's not something that you plan, and that's not something that everyone can expect if they go here, but it's something that happened.
It's something that happened. And I would say that probably happens on every Germany trip because we've, you know, but it's
because they're always doing this. This is what they do.
Just for us. Yeah, because we're the ones that are able to open that fairy tale book. But if you go with anyone else, that is not going to happen. You can walk through Alsfeld and it's a glorious place, but that's not going to happen.
Because they're not expecting you.
Yes. So, but with the Adventures by Disney trip, again, Disney can knock on doors that don't exist.
Don't even have knockers.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no door there for anyone else.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the paddle of power. I don't know. But but those kind of things are what we set up. It's very handy, I gotta be honest. So
you think it would work here with everybody? We can just plow through.
Yeah, it'd be nice to take it home and use it at the grocery store. And
yeah. It's multi-use.
I like that.
Multitask with it, yeah. Those are the kind of things that happen on all the trips. Every single adventure has stories like that, and it's stuff that Disney has set up because we want you to have an immersive experience. We want that authentic experience everywhere we go, and so we've set these things up so that certain events are going to happen throughout the trip that you're not expecting. And that's the cool thing, because you truly never know what's going to be around the next corner.
Okay, so all this VIP stuff and all of this exclusive stuff, that's got to come with a pretty hefty price tag.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, it is luxury travel. So we're in 4- and 5-star hotels, we're in castles, you know. And it's because we want you to be taken care of. And, you know, I know sometimes folks will say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter, I'm just sleeping there. But you want to feel safe and secure at your trip, too. And it is the Disney difference.
You can't choose a value resort here.
You can't choose a value resort here. And, I mean, this is, everything comes with a price tag. But the value level in Adventures by Disney is just, I don't think the value can be overstated. There's no way, first of all, for anyone to recreate these trips. You could go to those destinations, you can buy a flight, and you can go, and you can go to the cities that we go to, but there's no way to actually recreate the tour. And it's because, again, of those doors that Disney can knock on and open up the immersive, authentic experiences that we set up. So you can hit some of the points, but you're not going to be able to hit everything because there's so many things that are set up just for us. And also there's the whole level of not having to worry about any of that, because this way, everyone's in all the pictures, because we'll take photographs for you. On my last South Africa trip over Christmas, my co-guy and I actually took 3,000 photos of our very pretty guests.
Now,
and everyone gets all of those. It's okay, complimentary. There's no nickel and diming. Like, once you have paid for your trip, it's done.
It's in.
So and you don't have to worry about it.
Food, a lot of the food, not all of it, but a lot of it is included, correct?
About 80-85% of the meal. So, you know, and also for some guests are like, well, I don't know about guided travel. I don't want to be tied to the group the whole time. But we're really smart about working in free time. So that way you can still explore on your own. You still have some autonomy there. You've got a couple free meals. And I've got to be honest, usually for the free meals, by that point, everyone's just eating together anyway. Like, right. Usually the group just stays together. But you've got that time to be able to kind of explore on your own. So if you wanted to try something a little crazier, I mean, all of our food is amazing and excellent and very authentic. But if you want to try maybe some of the more exotic things, or maybe if you just want a burger, you know, you want to dial it back a little, we're going to be able to find those places for you. Absolutely. You know, because we've been able to, you know, poor us, we had to eat everywhere. So, you know, we could tell all of our guests where to go.
Yeah. If they're...
we go through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to have two desserts because I need to be able to tell people.
Exactly.
About
I have
it's experience.
Yes, it's just product knowledge. It's,
it is.
It's for all of my babies. It's for all my guests.
Yes. And you feel connected to them, right?
Very much so. And everyone teases me because I'm a crier. I cry very easily. I cry at Disney commercials, you know, like all the time. And I literally cried. I'm going into my 7th year as a guide, and I've cried at every single finale dinner because it's so hard because you get so close to everyone. You've just spent a week, like, really, you know, taking care of the kids and bonding with the adults, and you tell stories, and they know all about you, and you know all about them. And we've just had these amazing experiences together. Just because I've experienced it before doesn't make it any less because I'm seeing
it's
it
with
a whole
people.
New group. Exactly.
Through different eyes.
Every group is different. Every group makes it special, and it's wrenching at the end of a week. Oh my gosh, like everyone's
it's
gotta
exhausting.
Go. It is. I have to like just go to sleep because I can't even get out of bed. Like, but you know, it's hard. I know I do. I'm gonna tear up. But it's you know, it's hard because we get so close and everything. But those are relationships that last forever. So I mean, our guests are wonderful, and they're so much more than just my guest. Or I mean, they're never a customer. I mean, they truly are friends, and they're part of my family too. It's not just the group that bonds; it's us as well.
Now, on that note, if you do a tour with one group of people, and you know, next year they decide they want to do and go someplace else, can they request you as a guide? Or do you have to be in that area at that point?
They can request, but it's not always possible because it depends on where we're scheduled.
Scheduling.
And I believe our scheduling, I kind of imagine in my head is like a Tetris game. So
this fits in here.
That makes sense. There have been some circumstances where it's been able to happen, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for anyone. Although a lot of times, guests will just ask where the guides are and then book that trip. And that's usually a little easier.
But you know what? Any of the trips are just destinations that they choose, they're going to have a whole new set of wonderful guides.
Exactly. And all the guides
everyone's
awesome.
So enthusiastic and knowledgeable and there for the guests.
Exactly. Like, all of the guides are good. And it's neat to meet new ones too, you know, because then you get a whole different perspective on, you know, on wherever you are, and everyone's going to have their own little tips and tricks and everything, you know,
their
how
own
we
sense
do
of humor.
It. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Nuances.
Now, do you recommend, is there one that you can recommend that people can maybe try that to get their feet wet? A great one, like that, just to try it out. That's
a
not,
beginner's
like destination.
Sure,
yeah.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of like, you know,
they're all
picking a favorite too because they're all so awesome. And a lot of it depends on the guest too. You know,
what
some
want to
be
for.
A little more exotic, some want to be a little more adventurous, some want to be a little more, you know, sedate. Whether you want a country tour or a city tour, so it's kind of hard to say. I would say that if you were wanting to try something exotic, but maybe you weren't quite sure about going all the way to, say, Peru or China or something like that, I think Alaska gets overlooked a lot. We do have a land-based Alaska tour, and you're not going to get a whole lot more exotic than that and still be domestic. Plus, you get that first taste of kind of a longer plane flight from just about anywhere you're going to be.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
It's especially for kids, if you haven't been able to take your children on a long flight and you're like, well,
China
really
might not
like
be
to
the
go.
First choice.
Yeah, maybe not. So, although, you know, it depends on the child, too.
Right.
You know, I've had many guests that in China where that's been their first big flight or that's been their first adventure, and it's great, and they do wonderfully. So, a lot of it depends on how each child is. And of course, everyone knows their family best and what's going to be good. But
right.
I think Alaska is overlooked a lot. And that's a pretty cool trip. It's very exotic and it's awesome. And, you know, people don't realize that it's green too. You know, I know what
green
I think
grass.
Of it. I think just white, you know, like it's a marshmallow.
Snowed,
yeah. Exactly. And then Quest for the West is very, very close to my heart. It's fun to just get to see the frontier. It's still out there. I mean, it's still the Wild West. It's pretty amazing. And to go into the national park, and my favorite thing, and it's just a personal tip, I know a lot of the guides do it. It's not a part of the tour necessarily, but when you're at Yellowstone, there's no light pollution there. So you can go out and look up and really see the stars.
It's
and
like
that's
doing that on a cruise.
That, yes, yes. You know,
there's
we
no,
get out there and
there's light
nothing.
Pollution.
And it's black. They actually have flashlights that they give you if you wanted to go walking around because it's so dark. And
nice.
The more you look up, the more you see. And it's just like diamond dust in the sky. And it's amazing. You can see satellites rotating. It's incredible. It's more stars than most people have ever and will ever see again. And that
more
may
than
not
they know
sound
exist.
That great, but yeah, it's truly amazing. People cry. Of course I cry. But, you know, it's very spiritual in a way to be able to see something like that. You know, it's our place in the universe. And there aren't many places that you can see that kind of thing anymore. And just to get that outdoors experience, it's not often that we can break so far away from urban and suburban to be able to just see the country.
Excellent. I'd like to finish off with one more of your favorite memories. Can you pick another one?
Oh, gosh. It's so hard picking each one. So, well, you know, I'll probably cry, but
<That's>
just
okay.
Because this touches me
to
very
show.
Strongly. Yes, yes, there we go. I truly do love the South Africa tour, Safari to South Africa. I was so excited when I first got sent there. And every time I'm just giddy, the guests are like, you've guided this before, right? I'm like, yes, I'm just that excited. So I love seeing the animals. I love being able to experience all this. But one of my favorite parts of that trip is actually something that I kind of almost dismissed in my mind because I was so focused on getting to see the animals. And I think that's probably true for probably 99% of the guests that go to South Africa. You go because you want to go on safari. And, but one of the great things is when we're in Cape Town, when we're first there, we go to the District 6 Museum. And that's another great thing about Adventures by Disney is we don't shy away from tough conversations. You know, we're going to talk about history, and sometimes that history is difficult, like in Germany.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. And like in South Africa, we're going to talk about apartheid because that's, you know, we don't want to dance around it. It's not going to be the elephant in the room. It's part of their culture. It's part of their mm-hmm. world. It's part of what has made them who they are. And so those are, you think, topics that we're going to discuss. So we go to the District 6 Museum, and we have a lovely gentleman there named Noor. Noor is awesome. He's just this little guy, and he's so sweet. He's probably the kindest, gentlest soul that I've ever met in my entire life. And he loves the kids. He makes sure all the junior adventurers are right up close, and he starts telling them about District 6 and their images everywhere. And a lot of folks may not even realize what had happened until he starts talking. And he shows you a picture of his house, and it was the house that he grew up in, and his family was there for years upon years, generation upon generation. And then he shows you a picture of the empty lot where it is now and talks about how he had to stand across the street from his house and watch as they bulldozed it because it was deemed a whites-only area and he's not white. And about all his friends and everyone, about how everything was just taken down. And you see pictures of the streets that are now completely overgrown, like nature's taking them back over because nothing's there anymore. They're deserted. And about how he raises pigeons. And he would talk about how his pigeons kept flying away and all the dogs and the cats in the new areas that they had moved to were running away, and they found them all in District 6 because that's home. And the animals didn't understand. I'm going to cry.
Uh-huh.
And the animals didn't understand why nothing was there and why that wasn't home anymore. And, you know, this is could be a very bitter sticking point. This could, you know, if I don't know if I went through something like that, if I would be so upbeat about it, you know, even years later. But Noor has this great message of hope and of fraternity and of love. And he's like, you know what? This was bad. This was wrong. But we fixed it. And we're making it better. And it's amazing to see something like that. And it really impacts the guests. It's so, he's so positive. He's overwhelmingly positive. And not in a naive way or I'm sticking my head in the sand or anything like that. That's just his attitude. It's just his outlook. And I think that's great for the junior adventurers to see truly the horror of something like this, but with a positive spin on it, to realize, you know what, it gets better. People make mistakes, things happen, but
you move forward.
You move forward. It's always moving forward. And for the adults to see that as well, and something that they may have been thinking, oh, are we going here, or oh, we'll be in and out, or how long we're there, or something like that,
it's riveting.
Becomes a huge piece. And it's something that guests remember quite often at the end of the tour when we're like, what stands out to you? What were your favorite memories? People mention that because it's kind of a mind-blowing thing. And you may not go on vacation thinking, oh, I want to learn or I want to be educated or anything like that. But you're going to learn. And there are going to be those moments that truly alter your perspective. Like, alter your life and how you're thinking about things. And it's easy to take that stereotype. And it's such a hard word, apartheid and everything. But to see it presented in this way and from someone that lived it, it's his life. It's really incredible, and it's very heartwarming, and I think it's just a lovely, wonderful message for everyone to hear, and it's a great way to learn about history, not only from someone that lived it, but to see it presented in such an amazing way.
It's beautiful.
And stuff like that happens on every single trip, which is cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll wrap it up right here.
I think we should also say happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Anniversary of my 21st birthday.
the second anniversary, too. Right?
Yeah, second anniversary. Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
I have a lot of those anniversaries.
I don't know why women are like that.
I was told at some point I have to start going in reverse. I'm like, no, I'm all
I
right.
did that. I'm 29 again.
Yep. I think my mother told me she's actually younger than me now. So
my mother is too. I don't understand.
I don't understand how that works, but I'll do the math.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up right here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
We thought this was wonderful.
It was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat. Bye-bye.
Bye.